the middle of your struggle, the middle of your trial, and to be able to still do God's work in the midst of it. It's not an easy thing. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've had elders that we've had in the church where one had just lost a child. It was a miscarriage. They were in the hospital, and he was still ministering to the nurses as if, like, there is a lot of things that could be going on. I should be about what's going on with my wife, and I should be struggling because I just lost my child. But he took the time to talk to the nurses about Jesus. It lets me know that what we have wonderful people in this house, just maybe like most of you, is that we deem that God is more incredible than anything that is going on in our life. And I truly appreciate that. And a note the apostles wanted me to share is that we had some great anniversaries that are coming up. My very good friend, Robert and Katia, they're celebrating, is that 3 years? 3 years of marriage. And then Miss Kenesha and Brother Sam, they're not here right now, but they're all celebrating, I don't know how many years. You know how many years that is, Joe? A good number, he said, a good number of years. They have been together, and we're just so glad that they are able to take the time to celebrate in their anniversary. And next week, August 3rd, myself and Mrs. Amber here, we're going to celebrate our first year of marriage. And the White's on the 31st. Is there anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Anybody else in August? Or okay, you have one? Coming up? What year? What day? August 19th. How many years? I got the same one. That's okay. It's okay. Drink some water. I know that's what it was. It's that water. Give that man some water. Amen. So I thank God for that. I hope Erica is not on, she's not on the Zoom or anything like that. She heard that one. Nobody snitch, okay? Nobody snitch. So today I want to talk to you, and the title of my lesson is I Will Not Be Silent. And I truly thank God for this. I truly thank God for allowing me to share. This has been in the works for a little while. And I thank God for Apostle giving me the opportunity to share this with you. And I just hope that you get something out of it. I know that he will because I believe God's word. And so if you guys have your Bibles, if you don't, that it will be coming. I'm coming to the New King James Version. And I just really want to share that with you on this morning. So if you could go to Matthew's, we're going to start at the 28th chapter. And we're going to go read it to the 18th to the 20th verse. Yes, Matthew's 28, I'm sorry. Matthew's 28, 18 through 28. If you don't have my Bibles, I guess you're going to have to trust what you see on the screen. It is absolutely the New King James Version, if you don't mind. I didn't go back to the 1900s on that one. But if you have it there. And I'm going to read. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them also to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And so I wanted to share with you guys, even in a world, or in a world where the generations are coming along, and if you have not seen, if you see the signs of the times that younger people are coming back to Christ in droves, and they are hunger. There is a hunger within them for the word. And it behooves us as Christians not to stand idly by and let them starve. They have a desire to fill a void that only God can fill it. And so if they are hungry and that we are the servers of this world and also ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we should always be ready to serve them with the word of God, with a lifestyle that is pleasing to God, and that you would walk it out the best way you possibly can. Like I was mentioning before, that there are trials and there are tribulations that come up in our lives that we have no control over, but that does not stop our ambassadorship. Can I say that? It does not stop our ambassadorship, that everything that we do, everything that we say, who we communicate with, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So that means that when we are presented with a trial or tribulation, we would live that out as an ambassador. So that, that many things that have come into your life, which I absolutely in awe of, that you may have seen a friend that goes through the same thing that you have, and they would lose their mind, or they have taken their life. And it's sad to say that. Well, I've had people of that in my life that have taken their lives because they thought what they were going through was just too much. And for those of you who don't know, and if you already know, these are not, it's nothing that's too much. Nothing that's too hard for God, but it's some, for some people, it may be a difficult thing when they don't have God. And I want you to keep that in mind, is that when you are reaching souls and that you're living this life as an ambassador, that is very important, that you would show them how to live and show them where your source of strength comes from. That is so very important. So right now that we are living in a world that people are so hungry, and that we need to be the ambassadors, and we need to get busy about souls. It's no longer time for ambassadors to be silent or be more concerned for what's making people uncomfortable. I think about the word brutally honest. It's only brutally honest is because that people have not heard the word enough. So now that we have gotten a little bit softer in years, when people hear the truth, it's hurtful. But does that still make it needful? It's still needful. Can we say amen? I will not be silent. If there is something that is needed, we have to go past the uncomfortable, saying the things that are important, that is needful for the people of God and those who are coming to Christ, so that they can correct the deficiencies that they have in their life with God. We have been told to keep our beliefs private, avoid offending others, to stay quiet about sin, and the society does the exact opposite. They're telling us to be quiet, but they can be allowed as they want to. And it baffles me. I remember going to school for the barbery school. They said there's two things you don't talk about in the barbershop. Anybody know what they might be? Right on the money, Brother David. Politics and religion. And though I know very little about politics, I know enough to do the studying when it's time to vote. But when it comes to religion, I'm like, what is the big deal? Why would that be such a concern for people? Because people split. And one thing I do like about the barbershop is that we don't have to agree on everything, but we're going to voice our opinions. So I'm going to tell them where I stand, and they can tell me where they stand, and then we can still shake hands and they can go out the door. Now, if they don't like what I said, they can get their hair cut by somebody else, but I still have to stand on what I believe, and I have to live it out in front of everyone. Do I have coworkers that are not saved? Absolutely. Even the more so. I have to stand on what I believe, and I have to live it out as much as possible. So that when I share what's going on in my life, fellas, see, when I can tell my coworkers that, hey, I got this struggle going on, or I've been short, and I haven't been getting a lot of clients this week, Miss Harlan, they have to see that and be like, man, but it doesn't change your character. You still as happy as you want to be, you still want to serve God, and it's not like that every day. Sometimes it is hard, but then I'm going to get back up and say, to God be the glory, no matter what the situation, and I want to encourage you to do the same. No matter what the situation, you are an ambassador and you cannot be silent. Can you say it with me? I will not be silent. Oh, I just set you up right there. I'm sorry I did that to you. So in Matthew 28:18 that we had just read, this was called, many are calling this thing the Great Commission. This was a declaration for a lot of us. And this was a demand, not demand, but a command by Jesus Christ after he was risen from the dead. His final words before he ascended were not a suggestion, but a command to make the disciples of all nations. And even today, 2,000 years later, that is still happening, right? That people are still coming to know Christ because of those 12 that began with him. In Luke 19, if we could go there, Luke 19, 38 to 40. And so for those of you who may not have done it, and while you're reading, you can read along. I just want to give you a brief synopsis. This is the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem. Now, I want you guys to know that when he was coming into Jerusalem, people had already been there, and there was a high expectation of what Jesus was going to do or what he was coming for. And this was the same week that he died. He was crucified. Someone would call this day the, if I'm not mistaken, Palm Sunday. And then what they would do is they would bring palms and they would put it before, they put him on a donkey. They laid down clothing and then they laid down palms and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And they were all praising him. Now, in the crowd, just like in this crowd, there were people that absolutely loved God. There were people that absolutely were recipients of his grace and mercy, that they were recipients of his healing. And in that same crowd, there were people that they were just observing. People that had not chosen God just yet or chosen Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and acknowledged who he is, was the Son of God, but they were just sitting there observing. And the Pharisees were there. And as you, let me go ahead and read that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me read this out to you. I'm going to go back one verse, and it says, "Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in the heavens and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" And then the 40th verse, it says, "But he answered and said unto them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Now, this is the New King James Version. I don't know what version that you're reading, and then you have different versions of that. But I was in awe, and I had read it before, but I was in awe that he told the teachers, the Pharisees, the people that were the spiritual leaders. You hear me what I'm saying? The spiritual leaders in the community or in this city, when they told him, "Hey, silence them down. We know who you are, but can you tell them to be quiet?" And that's what the world is doing to us today. Okay, you're a Christian. Yeah, I see you go to Living Faith Christian, but can you keep it down a little bit? It don't take all that. We understand that you serve God and you want to live for him, but can you keep it to yourself? But when the world wants you to know how they are living, when the world wants you to know, they're going to advertise it, put it on billboards, and they are not ashamed. They're going to conform the movies that you watch to push it in your face so that you know this is acceptable. But they want us to be quiet. And Jesus' response to them was that if I would tell them to be quiet, the rocks would cry out. Now, if you look at this thing literally, help me, Lord. If we can look at this thing literally and say, this is amazing. And what I think is amazing about it is that this is the same God that created the heavens and the earth, so it wouldn't be a thing for some rocks to cry out. It would be amazing because had nobody ever seen that before. And so it could get a little nervous because he's healing people, right? He's raising the dead and he's healing people and he's doing some miraculous things. And I'm telling you, the people in the crowd, I'm sure they felt it. But this is just a conversation between the Pharisees and Jesus. So I want to look at you. I want you to look at this thing spiritually. And I want you to take an introspection. Is that the right word? Introspective look at your life. That when Jesus was saying this, that if you do not share who I am, what I have done in your life, this mantle of ambassadorship, who you live for, who brought you, I really like this, I don't want to even go there right now, but who I am in your life, the rocks that will be crying out, just imagine with me for a little bit, the neighbor who you thought that was never going to come to Christ starts living for God because you kept silent. What about that homeless man that you passed by, gave a couple of dollars to, and hoped that he would get his life together? God did. And now he's coming. The rocks will cry out. And the rocks have been crying out because we have kept silent. Now, I would be very embarrassed. I would probably be even worse than embarrassed that if there was representation for me in a rock. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. I'm saying that if there was a rock that was standing by to worship this true and living God because I was quiet. I think about when Peter had denied Jesus, and he said, the rock's going to crow three times because you're going to deny me. He's like, no, not me, Lord. I'm your ride or die. Where you go, I'm going to go. If you're getting beat, I'm getting beat. And all it took was a little time. He heard the cock crowing. He heard the cock crowing. So as Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the news had been spread. Great expectation was there. They entered into the city, and as people, recipients of his healing, grace and mercy, deliverance and freedom, onlookers and envious ones, they gathered together to praise his name. And through the shouting and the praise of one who is worthy of it all, a Pharisee interrupted and asked him to tell the people to quiet down. Say, I will not be silent. And how do you do that? You do that not only with your words, but your lifestyle. I will not be silent. I think about Daniel when there was a decree that he should not pray. And everybody knew that he was praying three times a day. Is that he did not hide himself. He did everything that he always had done. That if I fail, that I'm going to fail. Because he was going to be doing the things that he would always do because he wanted to honor his God. I think about the Hebrew boys that were thrown in the fiery furnace. He says, if you do not bow down, I'm going to throw you into the fire. And they got a second chance because the king wanted to see what their stance was. And then they did, out of respect, they said, oh, king, live forever. But far be it from us to do what you say over God. It's a bold statement, Mr. Hale. That is a very bold statement when your life is on the line. And there is a furnace that has been put up seven times hotter. The heat was hot. But yet and still, they remained who they were, that they would not be silent, that this is not their God, and they would not bow down. And then the next part of that is making disciples. Oh, Sam, you made me a little uncomfortable now, you know what I mean? Because what does that mean? Making disciples means that they're going to have to come into your space. When you think about the life of Jesus, that he was with these guys all day, every day, and he was imparting into them. He was waking up next to them. He was walking with them to different cities, and that there was some discipleship going on. That's not an easy thing because you know how we do. When we get home, what's the first thing we do? Close the door. We take off our clothes, get in our comfy clothes, and then we want to get in front of the TV or get in our beds, right? But discipleship needs to happen. And so that means that you're going to have to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to invite people to your personal space. Oh, my God. I know you didn't say that, Pastor Sam. Let me say it again. You're going to have to invite people to your personal space. Well, my house is not clean. I don't like people to come over. People are going to have to come over in your personal space when it is not ready. So you got a choice to make, two things. You can get it ready or let them in. But either way, this is discipleship, letting them walk alongside you, allowing them to be mentored by you. And you don't have to be great. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. This is what I love about Jesus. If I can just share, I want to go to Acts 4, 18 through 20. And I'm going to read a little bit before that, so bear with me, Pro Media Department. This kind of blew me away a little bit. I was totally enjoying it. I think it's in the 10th verse. Oh, I'm sorry. It's in the 13th verse. Can we go there? And I'm going to start reading at the 10th verse. It says, let it be known to you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you were crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And so they had just, Peter and John had just helped deliver this man and heal this man. So they were letting the people know in the city that, hey, this is because of Jesus Christ. And 11th verse says, this is the stone which the builders rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now in the 13th verse it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, if I could ask you just to insert your name, that now when they saw the boldness of Amber, and when they saw the boldness of David, when they saw the boldness of Corey, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Let me read on. And they marveled, and they had realized that they had been with, what did your Bible say? Wait a minute. Let me see. So now they are going out and doing the work. They're healing people, and they're calling on the name of Jesus, and they're sharing their good news about who Christ is, right? And then when they saw them, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. But when they looked upon him, Miss Elizabeth, they saw something on them. They said that they had been with Jesus. What is, it's just amazing to me, and I don't know if you're thinking about this, but that when you spend time with God, sometimes people don't even understand what that is. It's a beautiful thing, and somebody mistake it for an attraction. That, oh man, you looking cute today, Brother Ron. I don't know what it is. Did you get your hair cut? Are you wearing something new? I had been with Jesus. And there's something about my confidence that has changed. And to let you know that Peter and John, they weren't not unskilled men. These were fishermen, and they knew their craft. But when they say unskilled here and untrained, they are talking about their knowledge base, the wisdom base. But spending time with God overlaps all that. It reflects that there is a higher power on the inside, that maybe I didn't make it past the 10th grade. Maybe I didn't go to college. Maybe that I don't have a trade that you may be interested in or you think that is a highly skilled thing. Maybe that I don't have a status in the world that you live in, but I spent time with Jesus. It makes all the difference when you spend time with Jesus. And is it a hard thing? Young people, I absolutely loved your Psalms. Thank you guys for doing that. Highly encouraged me. One of my favorite chapters in Psalms 23. But there is no hard thing. Don't ever let anybody tell you different. There is no hard thing about spending time with Jesus. Pharisees, they may make it hard for you. There may be the world that says, hey, you can only read so much or you can only pray so much. But there is no gap between you and Jesus. That he opened it up when he tore the veil, that we had full access. So all the Jesus you want, all the Jesus you can get. Ain't that something? That should do something for you right there. That when I look at my life and I look at these great evangelists that are speaking, I love to hear great pastors when I'm throughout the week listening to a great word. And I think about them and I think to myself, the same God that delivered him. You mean to tell me that I could be on Reverend Paul status? Oh my gosh, Apostle David, I could be on spend time with God just like he does? What are they doing? What is T.D. Jakes doing that I ain't doing? He's spending time, Ron. That's how easy it is. I want to know you. Joseph, I want to know you. God wants to know you. He is no respecter of persons. That's how that means that all the Jesus you want, you could get all the Jesus you could get. And people are going to see it on you. Now, who would be silent about that? Can you say, I will not be silent? No, I get it. While we are tempted to be silent, and you know them, and you might be able to shout out some for me, but I wrote a couple down. There's a fear of rejection. I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus because I know that the crowd that I'm working with, they're doing everything but saying I'm a child of God. Or I know they're doing everything. When I hear the what they did, you know how we was in the Navy and they said what they did on the weekend, and you'd be like, oh, my gosh, you was out there bad. And now I got to tell him about Jesus and invite him to go to church. It's going to be a little awkward. Sharing the faith can be scary, and it can be intimidating. I just heard a testimony this morning about one of our worship leaders was saying that she invited a friend to church, and she was a little bit nervous, and then she was like, okay, what time I have to be there, and what should I wear? Just that easy. You know what? You got neighbors. You got neighbors, Mr. Scott, that are just waiting for the invitation. You think it's going to be hard. You think that, hey, they don't feel like got time because you see what they're doing on Sundays. They washing their car. You know what I mean? They're cutting their grass. And they just waiting for the invitation for somebody to say, hey, you want to go to church with me? 10:30. Grass will still be there and the car will still be there. It may look better if you shine it a little bit later on in the afternoon. Who knows? A perceived lack of knowledge and wisdom. And I just read that to you, that they looked like untrained men, but they had been with Jesus. And so don't ever look at yourself and say that I don't know a whole lot about Jesus Christ. Share what you do know. That is all it's going to take, and that's a great start. I just like personal testimony of mine is that when I joined the Navy, I was living in the barracks, and God impressed upon me, LaFaro, don't know why he did it. I do know now. But I didn't know why he did it, but he said, I want you to have a Bible study in the barracks, Barracks 8, Whidbey Island, 7 o'clock on a Friday. Brother Hale, you hear what I'm saying? On Friday. Now, this was 1990, but yeah, I'm going to tell you what I loved about it. It was 1995, okay? 1995, little airman recruit Giles, having a Bible study in the barracks on a Friday night at 7. Yolanda, I got to tell you, it was jumping. We had an E-Club. We had an E-Club on base. I don't know if you knew this, but they shut it down. E-Club, and I'm talking about the people was coming from everywhere. They was coming from Seattle. They was coming from Canada. They was dependents that should not have been there. Dependents that, you know, underage that should not have been there. Everybody coming to the club, and I'm telling you, it was jumping. I'm going to tell you about Pastor Sam, Clyde. After the Bible study, I had to go down there and fellowship with them saints. You know what I'm talking about? Had to go fellowship because I didn't know who was going to be there, and somebody may have needed Jesus. I tried to leave Jesus at home. I'm not going to even lie. I tried to leave him at home, but everywhere you go, that you are going to be an ambassador. So needless to say, it was really hard to get people to come to a Bible study at 7 o'clock on the Friday night. Because the E-Club is jumping. And you know, it starts off, it pops off a little later. I know that ain't changed, right? It still pops off a little later, but you understand Sam was cutting hair. Sam needed to get people straight before they had to go to the club. So somebody was waiting on me. So I would get people to peek in. How long you got left, bro? I need my hair cut. And I was like, I'll be there when I'm done. And it was challenging. And I had people coming, which was a blessing. Thank God we had people in the church, or the elders of the church, that we had one elder that would come. And he was sitting, and I told him what I was doing. I told him I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge, and he came to the Bible study. Because I had people that was challenging me, and I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge, Sister Robin, you know what I mean? But I loved God enough that I wanted to see people come to Christ. So in my limited knowledge, I want to have a Bible study so that people can learn more about God, and they can learn it alongside me. But I can look upon myself, and I look in the mirror, and I can be like, I am not qualified as the elders that was at my church at the time, but I will not be silent. Other things, social pressures, intimidations. The world often wants to silence your beliefs. Your past still shames you. It's still defining. You believe you've been saved, but you have yet to walk in the freedom of salvation. And that is a terrible thing. If your present state looks like your past, stop it. So that your future can be your present. And you can stop using that as an excuse why you can't do it. Man, brother, Malcolm knew what I used to be like when I was in the club. How I'm going to preach under here while he's sitting there looking at me like, man, I know what you used to do. Don't be coming up with that hypocritical stuff. I've been saved by the grace of God. I have a life that is changing. Though I'm not perfect, I'm still striving after this true and living God, so that when I see my friends that I used to know that saw me in the club, that was in me in the club, that shared a drink with me, when they see me up here, when they see you here, they are like, hey, there is something different about you. Did you get your hair cut? Man, them shoes look nice. But he had been with Jesus. And I will not be silent. And wouldn't it be a thing to shave the devil and be like, yep, that was me. I was dancing on the speakers. Did you know Brother Sam got kicked out of a club in Canada dancing on the speakers? And let me tell you, I would be remiss that I would come into the house of God and then I would sit down when the worship is going on. Because I was going all out. I wanted to practice the new dances so that when I get out there, I won't look like I was back in 1980. I want the brand new ones. You hear what I'm saying? Then I want to come into the house of God and I want to sit down when the worship is going on. Here's the funny thing. Nobody indoctrinated me when you remember the first day, if anybody, I know all you guys have been saved all your life, but for me, my first day in the club, LaFaro, nobody indoctrinated me where I should go. When I walked in, Reverend June, I saw the people that was on the wall, right? Joe, you know what I'm talking about? Then you may not know. I'm not putting you out there. Nobody out there. And I saw people at the bar drinking, right? So you got the people on the wall. You got the people at the bar drinking. You got the dance floor, right? People at the dance floor. Young people, you don't even know about this, but it might come through you. And what else was it? And then they got people just all around, just peeping out the scene. You know, checking out the chicks, huh? Oh, VIP. Well, E-Club, I ain't never been to a place with VIP. But good to know, yeah. VIP seated there. They got that down right now. But when I went into this club, nobody said, hey, welcome, how you doing? Why don't you come? What kind of person you are? You got the dance floor, you got the bar, you got the wall. Nobody said it. Didn't show me around at all. I knew where to go. All right, y'all stop helping me preach this right now. Let me finish this. I knew exactly where I would go because I knew that my flesh wanted something, and so I went right to it. And as the conditioning of Jesus Christ in my life, when I come into the house of God, nobody got to tell me. When I went to Pensacola, when I came into the house of God in Pensacola, I automatically like, this is my family. So now I'm going to get on the front row because I know that some churches are reserved for the pastors and stuff. But I just really feel like this is my family. Every chair belongs to me, so that where there's an open seat, I'm going to sit there. If I don't know the song, thank God they got the words up, but if I do, I'm going to be the one of the liars to sing it. When I was on the ship and I went to liturgical services and I went to Protestant services and I went to Assembly of God services, I could care less what the denomination was because when I got there, I knew what time it was. When you come into the house, you know what time it is. You've been working all week, and you've been going through all this stuff all week, and then you want to come in here and just drag it down with all that stuff? Take it off. Worship the Lord. You came here for us to get revived. When the worship leaders are coming to worship, they come into usher in his presence. You get in there with them. Sing that song. Make it personal. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I can't keep it to myself. If you open up the testimony service, I got a story to tell. I know what Jesus did for me. So here's the resolve, saints. The resolve is that we cannot, this is why we cannot be silent. This is God's authority. We are called to obey God rather than man. In Matthew's 5:13-16, you don't have to go there. But what I really love about it, it talks about us being the salt and light. And Apostle David had talked about this not too long ago. He says that we are called to be the salt and the light. Salt is something that you can taste. And without light, you cannot what? So it correlates. So when I go to Psalms 34 and 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him." It correlates that why we need to be salt and light. The gospel is a good news and it must be shared. People need to hear the message of repentance and salvation. The Holy Spirit that we are clothed in, this power that we have, we are charged with a promise, nudging to go forth, giving us the guidance that we need. Love for Jesus compels sharing his love with others. And as I close, this call to action is that I want you to speak up. God has already given the commandment. We have a role to play. And easy date. Oh, I want to give you these practical steps. Where did I list that? If I don't have it, I know it by heart. Practical, and we've been talking about it all along too. The practical steps is what us call to action is discipleship. Inviting people into your space, sharing the word of God to them. And it may be small. For me, I find it taken in bite-sized pieces. I have somebody that is coming to me when I'm cutting hair at work. I'll share a parable. Simple enough. The kingdom of God is like. And I share that parable with them. And a lot of people are like, "I didn't even know it was in the Bible." Yes, it was. And it was great. And then they receive something. And then they keep coming back for the discipleship. Find that small thing that you can start off with and let that thing blossom. And then you invite somebody to church. I love it when you just invite somebody to church, not being fearful that they're rejecting you, but invite somebody to church with the expectation that they are going to come. Can you hear it in somebody's voice when they invite you somewhere? When you hear them at the last minute say, "Hey, I got a party to go to. It's at 4 o'clock today." It's like you're just a thought. What I'm saying is that I want you to have confidence that when you invite them and you're excited about your church or where you worship at, that they're going to want to come and find out why you're so excited about this church. What are they doing in this church? And we came for God. And always let them know, this is what I come for. A relationship with God, to be renewed, to be strengthened. What else? It's spending time with God. You got to do it. Spend time with God. You think about how much time that we spend, and we talked about that before, is that you can put borders on your social media time. I don't have anything against that, but what I'm telling you that if it's more time that you're spending with social media, hearing from everybody else, and you have a hard time hearing from your Father, that is a problem. And it will show up in your life. Your misconstrued ideas, your misconstrued thoughts, that you're arguing with people from some Facebook philosopher who tells you this is how your life should be. God's been telling you how your life should be from the beginning, and he put a promise on it. That's what I love, that you can trust his word, you can take it to the bank. Spend time with God. And as you stand with me. I'm opening up the doors to the church. We don't want you to be silent any longer.
Let her rock.
We want you to live out loud Jesus. We want you to know who you belong to, and that you will not be fearful of what's going on. It may seem a little intimidating, but do not be silent. That is you. That's where you want to be. That you are not. If you want to live out loud, that is where you are. Open up the doors to the church. If you have not known God and you want to know him, let us know what he's done for you.
Cry out for
me. Coming to the altar is that outward expression that you are declaring. I want more of you, God.
Cry out.
I'm not afraid about this. You are the family of people that have been there. That not have gone to the altar. Maybe it had been in your room. Maybe it was somewhere on the floor. Maybe it was in the woods. I don't know where you were. But there are moments with God.
Cry out.
Hey, my life is for you, Lord. I want to live for you, and I want to live the rest of my life. I want to be an ambassador because I want to know what it means to be your child. I want to know what it means to have freedom in my life.
Cry out.
If those that are here that maybe you have walked away. Maybe you have rejected some of the things that God has given us. Maybe you have just backslid, or maybe that you've just been rebellious in your Christian walk. I want you to come.
Cry out for me.
Things that are keeping you silent. Things that are keeping you from acknowledging that I serve the true and living God, even to this day.
Me.
I won't.
You're ashamed of who you are in Christ. Your past seems so loud. Your past seems like it's oppressing you. I want you to come.
I won't.
That is nothing but a lie from the enemy.
Cry out.
The past is the past, and your future is in Christ.
I won't.
Change today.
Let it rock.
That's just a mind.
Cry out. For me, I won't.
That wants to join
let
this body of Christ.
Cry out
the kingdom, because we are about winning souls.
I won't let a rock cry out for me.
Would you pray with me?
Cry out,
Father God. We just thank you so much, Lord God, for the word, Lord God, that you have given
cry
us today.
Cry out.
Thank you first of all for being a first partaker, Lord
cry
God.
Out.
Also, Lord God, we thank you for those
cry
that have come.
Out.
Lord God, in every
cry
different
out.
Facet of their life, Lord God, they have come here, Lord God, and they have made a declaration just as we have made a declaration today, Lord. We will not be silent. We desire, Lord God, to live our lives for you, Lord God. We desire, Lord God, to take on the mantle of an ambassador so that we will walk this thing out, Lord God, and that we will continue.
I won't.
Or we will begin.
Let her run.
We will not stop.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry
out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
I won't.
I won't.
Let her
run. Let her run.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out.
Cry out. Bring those that we want to disciple. Those, Lord God, that you have called into our lives, Lord God. And we will not put a hindrance, or we will put a face on who we're inviting, Lord God. No race, no creed, no color. Our desire is to bring souls back to you, oh God. We ask you, Lord God, to strengthen us, Lord, and give us the courage that we need, Lord God.
I will not be silent.
We want you, Lord God, to know, Lord God, to fight singing. What the world thinks we are unlearned, that we know enough about you, Lord God.
I will not.
God, a lot of thank you so much, Lord God, that you don't look upon us, Lord God, but we do not qualify, Lord God, for your grace and mercy.
We will not be quiet. We're going to keep on praising.
And we thank you, Lord God, that you showed us where we belong. You
called
us friends. You called us sons and daughters. You called us heirs to a throne. We had no idea that we had an inheritance. But you called us to this place, Lord God. And that we found out that we were, Lord God, your sons and daughters. And that we have an inheritance in you.
Cry out,
cry out,
cry out, cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out, cry out,
cry out, cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out, cry out,
cry
out,
cry out,
cry out,
cry out,
I won't,
let it roll,
let it rock,
cry out,
cry out,
for me,
I won't
let it roll,
let it rock,
cry out,
cry out,
for me, we will not keep quiet, we gonna keep on praising,
I will not be silent, I'm gonna keep on praising.